Welcome to Tuesday Hasidus Lounge. My name is Avi Kamen, and we are in the third part, and I think this will be the wrap-up, depending on how fast we go, about tefillah, davening. Now, we call it davening in Yiddish, but it's in Hebrew, it's called tefillah. Tefillah has a number of derivations from the word. The actual root of it all starts with Naphtali, that when Naphtali was born through Bilha to Rachel, Rachel said, now my husband will be connected to me. And that's the word Naphtali. So tefillah is about making connection. And another expression of tefillah is from Lashon Nafal, fall, shiftless, fall on your face as we do, or to bow down as we do in Shemoneh Esrei, to approach prayer with bittul, with openness, with complete open channel. And that open channel is a channel which, as we learn, connects brain with heart and heart to brain. The name of that particular faculty, which connects heart to brain and brain to heart, is called Das. Before we plunge in, as we do every week, we'd like to tell everybody that, in general, this shiur is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas Shlomi ben Moshe, our friend Bundy, and we'd like to give people out there or here opportunities to mention people who either need B'rfu Shlema or also Le'ilui Nishmas. Anybody?
Le'ilui Nishmas, Alexa Silva or Shulamit Silva, I remember Mother's name.
Okay.
Le'ilui Silva, also Nishmas, my mom, Simchatenu Bash Mordechai.
Sheldon
Silver, I don't know, so people name also was Nifter recently.
Okay. Anybody else?
Refuah Shlema for Charon Alexander Bas Chana Esther and Elias Neshama for Maisha Leib Ben Shimon Yitzchak.
Okay.
And Lui Nishma Shlomo Ben Avadia.
Okay. You had one more?
Refuah Shlema for tomorrow, Yetel Bas Chana.
And Alita's neshama, Rachel Bas Yirmiyahu Meir.
Beautiful. All of these neshama should have an aliyah. And as we always say, that neshama should have an aliyah, and poil Yeshua's v'kerev oretz, it should, their elevation should spark godly influence up above that rains down here below for all of our benefits. We're going to start with this supplemental text. I sent you two texts today. And I guess the reason I attach this supplemental before we dive in is because there's another big yahrzeit today. Your side of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah. Is it Aleph or
Zion Adar? Zion Adar. Zion Adar. It's this one. Yeah. And it's also his birthday. So we're going to start with one two-sentence preface to this supplemental piece, just reminding ourselves that a couple of things that we've learned, which we won't go into detail about. Tefillah, we just defined earlier as rooted in words which mean connect. Naphtali, connect. And there's one more. This which it says in the Gemara Kalim, the Berachos and there's a whole Masechta on Kalim. When you put pieces of clay together, it's called tefil. Tefil kli cheres, to join pieces of clay together. And as I said, the joining that the Rebbe Rashab tells us is a definition of prayer. First of all, he tells us what is not the definition of prayer. Prayer is not hisboinimus. Prayer is not meditation. Meditation, contemplation, is a prerequisite for prayer. But hisboinimus, bina, is a function of the mind. Das, although also a mind faculty, is an intermediary between the heart and the mind and joins the two together. So this is all about bringing the heart into the mind and bringing the mind into the heart. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of this. As it says, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Goel Rishon v'Goel Achron. He's the first redeemer, he's the last redeemer. Moshe Rabbeinu has the soul of Mashiach. The soul of Mashiach came into these levels of reality when God created the world. And he said, let us create, right? And there's an expression that when he created, that the Ruach Elokim Yirachepes al Hamayim, that the Spirit of God spread out over the Mayim. And the commentators say, this Spirit, Ruach Elokim, Zeh Ruach HaMashiach. This is the Spirit of Mashiach. Moshe is the one who embodies that Spirit of Mashiach, but he's not the only one. Yaakov Avinu embodies that. And it's embodied from one tzaddik down to another, and it's embodied in all the way down, of course, till our generation in the tzaddik ador. And so Moshe, in this opening paragraph of Parshas Mishpatim, very interesting drush, I think, it says, these are the judgments. God is talking to Moshe, and he says, these, I'm going to tell you all the laws. And he says, Kisikna Eved Ivri. He says, when you acquire a Hebrew slave. So the question that's raised on this page, and we won't go into detail, is if it would flow in normal, what we would think is normal, it would be continuing in the plural. when you give these judgments out and acquire, and I'm going to tell you what the first one is when all the, when the people, when any person acquires a Hebrew study. But it doesn't say that. This, because seek no evidence goes on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when you put out these laws in front of people, you should know that in doing so, you are connecting. A kinyan is an acquisition, right? It connects one object with an owner. It brings something from one reshus, one domain into another. You are going to acquire the Jewish people. You are going to make a connection between me, God up above, and reality down here below. And it's going to be a two-way street. The Torah, the Voida, and Geminas Chesodim. I'm going to give the Torah from above. You're going to do acts of kindness down here below. And the glue is the tefillah, Avoida Shebalev, which is called the Avoid of the Heart. So I want to skip down to the fourth or fifth line where there's some underline. It begins with behind them. Okay, one from the bottom. One, two, three, four, five, six. So this will be an introduction to Das, which is our theme, that tefillah is Das, is connecting heart to mind, mind to heart. Fifth line up from the one, two, three, four, five, or six. Behind them. Kamesh Lamaina Odam Shiyeshle Das. Just like we see that the human being and the visage of the human being above, the shape of the man above, has das. Kach elu ha-neshomis. So there are neshomis who are called das godol, who have a great das, be'elukus. Now, these neshomis are neshomis, these are the neshomis who manifest it. Every one of us has a connection to the roots of everything that's created in the shape of a person, all the 10 spheros. All of us have connections to that. The avoida is to mount, to bring it out, to expose that. But there are neshomis who have come down here with a talent, put it that way, with a gift to be able to express that. They have, there are neshomis, yesh lahem das godol be'elukus, and they have great das in elukus. Upirish das, what does das mean? And I'm using this because it's a fundamental in Hasidus and it's a fundamental understanding of prayer. Prayer is all about das, connection. What is das? So das ein ratzilei mehayidi levad. Das does not mean knowledge alone, although it does. It is a brain function. Da eselake avigo has the semantic of knowing, but it's much deeper than that at the same time. El betinus hagasha. Das refers to a cognitive feeling in the heart. Mm. Cognitive feeling in the heart. Mamish. And I used an example a week or two ago of an experience that I had. And I'll just put this on the table again. The first time that I actually learned Tanya in a class, after being exposed to it just on my own, discovering the book, reading the book, like I read all the other Lahavdil Elef Havdalah's books that I read on philosophy and theology and et cetera, et cetera. And when I read the Tanya on my own, I knew there was something there. And I, for whatever reason, and I won't go into details, we could do this another time. I came to Crown Heights and I went to a Tanya class. I went into a yeshiva, and it happened to be, Hashgacha Pratis, that the class was a Tanya class. And every word that rabbi said of Tanya, I felt in my chest, felt it actually touch me. This is the state that a person is meant to be in prayer. That the pasukim that you're saying, the words that you're saying, the havana that you have, that havana comes down and enters into your heart. And tonight we'll learn a bit about how to allow that to happen and also how to deal with it if it doesn't happen. So das.
Is das just, can das be that people feel things extremely, very, very strong, but they don't have the way to express it? Can das be dormant? Can das be something that's there, but a person doesn't know how to channel it?
All of the above. Absolutely all of the above. Yeah, that's what I said. We're going to talk about which, if you can, first of all, you can have Havana, and you can have, there are three words that I mentioned last time. These are the three words which are mentioned in Hasidus about das. The first one you have at the table is hargasha, feeling. The other two are hakora, which is like seeing it with your eyes. And in that, das, remember, das is a, first of all, it's a middle kav. And all the middle kavim go up to the world of soive, the world of pure godliness. So das has that capability, and it shares that capability with chokhmah. Chokhmah is also koyach ma, the window to see into the allness, which is indescribable. But das has an advantage. It takes that aspect, and it takes the aspect of actual havana, of understanding and contemplation and meditation, and melds the two together into the heart. Now, you could be at various stages of this, right? And have more or less success in it. So then what's on the table is how to do the practice of das.
But there's also das from the Sitra'achra, from the Yitzhara, no?
Of course. Zela umaze osu elikim. You've got to be careful.
Right.
Absolutely.
That for sure, especially when it comes to feelings.
Sure. Every of the 10 spheros and all of the makif, you know, there's para of la'umazeh, there's para of kedusha, there's loven of kedusha, there's loven of la'umazeh,
yeah, yeah.
Huh?
this power of Kedusha.
Yeah, yeah. It's explained in explained in Chassidus. Lavan of Kedusha. Lavan was a bad guy, right? But Yaakov Avinu, his whole effort was to elevate him and bring him back to his source, up into the worlds of everything, the world of Tohu, into the world of everything that's, you know, the highest place. Lavan is white, and white is the color which includes all other colors till those colors disappear. It's very deep. Parayu is also isparihu. It's a notion of light which pours out, isparihu. So, and yes, but back to your question, that's why it's why you have to be very careful. You have to know that you're doing it in a Torah context.
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, everyone's always like, oh, I'm living my truth.
I'm living my true self. Right. And you better be really careful with that. Right.
That's such a scary tightrope.
I mean, I'll tell you an avenue that I see a lot of mistakes going on, not necessarily in front of my face, but I'm in over the course of my life, learning Hasidus and dealing with people of Hasidus. Since everything is rooted in the allness, which is the everything of everything, right? So some people will give you an expression, everything is holy. But we know that's not true.
That's what Acher did.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's what Acher did. That's what Shabtai Svi did. Mm. Right? There are two in the Jewish, in the vernacular of Torah and Hasidus, there's Kodesh and Chol, right? There's the side of Kodesh and the side of the other side.
Right.
So you've got to know the difference. Yes. And as he explains here, first of all, if you're doing his boininess, not on just fuzzy wuzzies. You're doing his boininess on Torah that you've learned. So that's why his boininess is so fundamental. And his boininess has to be rooted in the Torah. Torah avoided limits of Sodom. It's a three-pronged stool, and one without the other falls, right? If you're just doing expiration of the heart, which is avoided, without the sandwich of Torah on the one hand and deeds on the other hand, all al pi Torah, then it's not going to be, it's not, it's, you can print it into the dark. So Das is, we'll start with Oyel Hargasha, Hakora, and Hiskashris. It's the third level, the third word, Hiskashris, as we're going to see. So you recognize something in Kedusha, you bring it into your heart. How do you recognize it? Because you're learning. You're learning Hasidus, you're learning Kabbalah Hasidus, the inner dimensions of the Torah, and your mind is full of that. And you come to a place of mental envisioning, like see, as if you saw it with your own eyes. That's always the expression for Hasidus. It's as if you see it with your physical eyes. And now you're bringing what you see into your, connecting it with your heart so that you have a hergash. And that connection is called hiskashris, unity, as we're going to see in a few minutes. So this is the first level is hagasha, to feel it, which the English translation of our book, Tractate to Feel It, translated as sense perception. Perception is tangible. Hagasha, the Hades, okay, so that's, there are souls who have that experience, who are born, either born or work on that and actually realize that in everyday life. And there is a capability for that in everybody because down deep, there is a tzidkus in every Jew. The Hades who became a Zera Behema. So these are called Zera Odom, the ones who are living, like the Rebbe, and of which the Zohar says, I've seen many come up here, and the ones who are B'nai Aliyah, the ones who really are the ones who can rise, are very few. This would be the Tzadik Gomer of Tanya. But everybody has the Tzidkus, everybody has righteousness. So these others, lower souls, however, are called Zera Behema. They're Jewish souls, which are in the level of Behema. And he says, these are the neshamas of the lower worlds, not the neshamas of Atzilus, but the neshamas of Biyah, Shehem, Kema'at, call on the neshamas of Rishim. Of Biyah, Bria, it's abbreviation. Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Shehem, Kema'at, call on the neshamas of Rishim, which are virtually all the souls of our generation. In the neshamas of Atzilus, Shehem, B'nai Aliyah, because the neshamas of Atzilus are called, this is language of the Zohar, they're called ones who come up here, Shehem Uwatim, and the Zohar says they're very few, even B'doris Rishonim, even in the early days. So what's the difference? And are you in a caste, like C-A-S-T-E, of being a Zera Behema? No. The difference is Das. The difference between being a Zera Odom, one who can rise to merge and experience the allness and bring the allness into the heart, is someone who has Das. So one that doesn't have Das is called She'en Lahem Das. That's a Zera Behema. They don't have Das in Elikus. Ve'en Ratzilena She'en Lahem Seichel doesn't mean they don't have a mind. A person can have a mind, but without the fusion...
Can't hear you, Rabbi.
The deeper the awareness, the deeper the...
Yeah.
The cognizance.
Yeah, it strikes your heart in one way or another.
Empaths have Das.
You're like what?
Empaths.
Empath. Oh, empath.
Have a lot of Das.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yes.
Would you please repeat what you said the last minute? The last thing that we really, not until Esther spoke, could we really hear you?
Really?
Yes, really, the last maybe 2 minutes we didn't hear.
We lost volume for about 30 seconds.
30 seconds? Okay, maybe only 30 seconds.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I don't know. The last thing, you think I know the last thing I said? Maybe somebody else does.
You were saying how some people have this das and that some people don't.
Oh,
Then there's the fusion of it.
Yeah, like, there are people for whom their soul origin inclines them to have das more accessible. And these are the people who we would call them wholly integrated. And there are people who come from a lower level who are not gifted with that, but who can become that through avoidance. And we're not talking here about the tzaddik gomer. When we're talking here, the tzaddik gomer, by definition in Tanya, is one who has completely transformed darkness into light, right? But there are other levels of tzaddik. And if we take it more simply, righteous tzidkus, the notion of being righteous, means that everything that you do is in lockstep with what Hashem wants. What's going on inside of you, you may have difficulty doing it. That's why it's called avoida shebalev. It's a service, but it's available if you'll learn how to do it. So we're learning the kintras ha'tefillah. It's a teaching. It's meant to teach us that we have to take our mindful awareness and our recognition of godliness, which we have through our chokhmah, and bring it into our heart. And that will be the avoida shebalev. That's really why it's called avoida shebalev. And we'll talk about some ways to do that.
Yeah, but you were saying before that there's das zelu mazeh. So technically, das is not necessarily associated with whether you're a tzaddik or not.
No.
You can be born with a very, very big, tremendous amount of das and be a rasha.
There's zelu mazeh. That's what we said earlier. Zelu mazeh is a fact. Anything that you could say in Kedusha has an opposite until you get to Atzmus.
So what does das have to be integrated with? Do you want to be a rasha? What does das have to be integrated
with? It has to be integrated with the thoughts and deeds of Kedusha. With learning Torah,
the Kedusha, the thoughts of the Kedusha, things that give the das the right command, right, the right direction.
Yeah, you can have das that's of stupidity. You can have das of stupidity. You can have das of of negativity.
Right.
You can have das that leads to terror. The heart, right? It's all about the heart and the mind. Mm. Well, if your mind is screwed up and you take that to heart, it's going to produce a lot of agony, or could produce a lot of agony.
The directionalization of the das in the right direction. Comes from
the avoida is to get the das in the right direction.
Okay.
It comes through limuda Torah, which limuda Torah has to lead to hisboininess in Torah. And hisboininess means deep understanding, deep reflection, right? And without that, as we says, number one, we're not going to learn this again. Number one tenet of this little pamphlet is hisboininess be Torah and in elikus and godliness is prerequisite to this kind of das. You could steep your mind in all kinds of stuff and go to the other side, even thinking that it's kedusha.
You know, it's interesting. Jordan Peterson says that we all have the capacity for evil in us, right?
Yes, we absolutely.
We're literally one step away from it. If we were not, like, it's literally so close. And the more your neshama has this capacity for das,
right,
the deeper the das, the deeper the capacity to go the complete opposite way.
Right. Taurus is even deeper than that. Because remember that we've learned this in the first pages of Tanya. The Nefesh of Bahamas is the first arrival. It's the first arrival. When you're created first. Remember in the creation of Adam, he fashioned a bunch of dirt, pure lowliness, and then he blew in the Nefesh HaLakis. So the Alter Rebbe says, he tells us in Tanya, that the Nefesh HaBahamas, you've been living with that much longer. And so it has an achiza, it has a grasp on it. Now, we're not going into the fact that it comes from a higher source, but that you have to teach. You have to make the Nefesh HaBahamas aware of who it truly is and why it came down here, which is to give us empowerment to serve God. But you have to teach it. If you don't, you know what happens. I can see on people's faces, you know what happens. All right. So with that, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one. He's the intermediary. He's Koine Eved. That word Eved, that's the first line. He Koine Eved. He's the one who gives us the connection between the world that he comes from. By the way, Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know if you may have come across this, is one of the few neshamas who comes from the world of Tohu.
Of what?
Of Tohu, the world which precedes this world.
Tohu.
Esav, I don't know if Esav came directly from there, but he's an emblem of that also. Really? I've never heard it. I've never heard it mentioned that he has a source. That Esav does? If he does, it does. Okay.
There's a sicha that talks about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did Moshe Rabbeinu come from Tohu?
Why?
No, but you say, well, why would Esav and Moshe Rabbeinu both come from Tohu? One was such a rosh and someone throws to the tzaddik. Why do we say it? What's the meaning of the fact?
The meaning of coming from Tohu is that you come into this world with an experience of God, pure godliness, without any compartmentalization, without any separation.
So why would you've experienced.
Zeh la'uma zeh. This principle is all over the place.
No, I'm just there asking.
Yeah, that's the answer. Zeh la'uma zeh. Right? Huge lights of Parai can be transformed into huge lights of Kedusha, or they can remain black magic. The huge lights of Esau have for centuries remained the power, the predominant power in this world, until we convert it into a Mahapahit, until we turn it back to discover its root in Kedusha. And that's our job. Yeah, that's where it comes from. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to bring that partly because it's much remaining Yortzai, and partly because it gives us a little insight into Das.
Did not realize Moshe Rabbeinu comes from. Wow.
Yeah, and Chanoich also comes. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know very well about tonight.
That's different.
Those
it's
are the Chanoich
and
Enoch. Not Enoch. Chanoich.
No. Oh, I thought you said Chanoich.
Chanoich with ach at the end, not Enoish. Enoish is
right.
Yeah.
Different.
All right. So okay, good. Thank you. So Esau also comes from Tohu.
Mashiach comes from Tohu.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to go because I don't. I'm not.
Why that makes a lot of sense because the Eiris of Tohu are greater than Tikkun.
Absolutely, it makes some sense, but I'm not going
to.
You know.
Can't go
I don't like
right
to. I don't know. I just. I don't like there. To. No, I don't like to say things that I haven't seen.
Okay,
you know,
got it. All.
We could do this since there are a lot
but
of.
But if we're to say that Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama came from Tohu, then that is to say that
Moshiach's
neshama comes from Tohu.
And to your point, and one thing which I have seen, and maybe you've seen, that the Rebbe has said over and over and over again that our job is to bring Oiris to Tohu and Kalim to Tikkun. Oris, the lights of that, and of course, that's a messianic view of the things. So I would say you're right, but only till I can click something in my head that I've actually learned, do I feel comfortable, you know, making these large statements.
No problem.
How does that make her right?
Because the Rebbe said so, and the Rebbe is our Moshe Rabbeinu.
Wait, but bringing the Oris of Tohu into Kalim of Tikkun.
That's Mashiach's state of mind. Oris the Tohu down here below. That we bring a Tohu experience to ourselves, and we elicit that Tohu experience in every little detail. Every little details are the Kalim of Tikkun, the world of Tikkun, and that's the deal. We bring Tohu into Tikkun, and we bring Tikkun up to Tohu. That's Mashiach.
We have another Refuah Shlema for Shneur Zalman Ben Chana Rachel and Amalia Rachel Bas Rivka Chana.
To have an Refuah Shlema. Okay, we're going to start now back over in our Mimer. All right, we're going to start in our Mimer, page 18 in the book. All right, we're going to learn a little paragraph on generally how to attain this posture that you're supposed to have in davening, in tefillah. Remember the postures, a certain amount of nafal, a certain amount of lowness, the lowness here meaning shiflus, openness, a certain amount of connectedness, where the and now what he said before, that in order to make this connect, you have to have what to connect. You have to have that Torah in your head. Now, we're going to talk about later, what if you don't? Because all of us, however learned anyone in this group is, there's a lot more to learn. That's a safe thing to say because the Torah is infinite, right? So sometimes we may have things, he said, by the way, early in the first couple of oisiyos, that you're kidding yourself if you think davening is his boininess, because his boininess is just a necessary prerequisite, because his boininess, as I said earlier, by definition is bina, and bina that needs to be connected with the heart, as the Zohar says. Bina libo, bina comes to the heart, ubo halev mevin, and it brings the heart to understand. When the heart understands, that's the so-called sense perception. When you feel it in your heart, and what is it that you feel? Though, and it must be, and only those things which are emes sheba emes, emes sheba mitoi, the things, the deepest parts of Torah. Otherwise, you, as you said earlier, you can get crooked in this. You can really get crooked in this. Okay, page 18. Anybody want to read? Anybody out there want to read?
We're
on Zoom, we can hear you. Are you reading?
I know we are.
That right there, yeah. So a person should not think, how can I possibly come to this avodah? How can I reach there?
Go. Well,
Period. So before he comes to that, or she comes to that, before he's reached such a level, it appears to him that what he's doing is just imaginary. You know, it's just, you know, one can be thinking lots of things, right? But are you there? Is your heart in that place? Or have you made the connection yet? So a person could get a little down about that. How am I going to do this? And in this, right. So in this, you can start getting pulled down into. You're making, in other words, you're saying, you know, Rebbe Rashab, you've described this like as an extremely lofty thing. I have to like do a lot of. First of all, I have to learn a lot, and I have to do a lot of really bringing it into my bina, a saga, really getting it grasped, right? And how can I possibly do that? He says that this is a trick, tachbulas. These are the tricks of the Yetzer Hara. Because the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to do this work.
What is it?
Harehu. So the person.
Tefa or Tifa?
Tipa Mara.
Tipa Mara. Mishvolot or Misvolot?
Mishiflas.
Mishiflas shel shekel. The more ech to go la vodah gdola, she'no,
marika, klau. So Yetzer Hara throws a person into this lowness of spirit. And here we don't mean in a positive way. He says, b'shiflas shel sheker, right? Who am I? How can I possibly do this? You say, how am I going to ever come to such a great avoidance?
Give up with exasperation.
Yeah. Well, lama, and therefore he says, the person says, lama.
Lama tihir al dvar me'la.
How? Why should I struggle with something that's much, much harder than I can ever reach?
Best is the enemy of the good. Give up.
It's you should know it is not something wondrous. It's not something far from to be. Remember, this is a part of Tanya, right? The beginning of Tanya. It's not up in the sky. It's not something you can't reach. You can reach this. You can reach this. You can reach the connection between the heart and the infinite God. It's not far at all.
It's close to everyone who has a brain or mind to think.
No, you got to get the next
one.
Stop. So this is close. The Rabbi Rashab said this thing is actually very close for anybody who has a brain and a heart. Who has himself. That every person who has a brain and a heart can steep oneself in and tie oneself. That's the other meaning of a das, kesher, to connect oneself in an Indian. Everybody, well, you know, there are exceptions. We're talking about people who have a normal brain capability, not exceptional brain capability. All of us have the ability to tie our heart to our mind through heartfulization of godly concepts. Yeah, I think you skipped a line. You did. So stop. So there is the power in every single person to tie oneself to the essence of godliness, as it's understood in your brain. And specifically, this is one of the kindnesses that Hashem gives us. It's an amazing thing to do. Think about. Look at us around the table, around there in Neverland, in virtual space. Each of us, an individual. You know, self-defined individual, yeah, and God has given this ability for us to subsume inside of us His infinity. I mean, that's beautiful. A great, great kindness.
Beautiful.
So therefore, who is Baruch? God may be blessed. Nidrash Rekol Durushim Oisoi. He requires of everyone who is required to look for that Be'emes. In other words, it's an interesting thing to think about this, that he's Dorish. One way of saying Dorish, you know, like we use a drush, we look for interpretations. But the other side, he's made us this way.
Beautiful drush. Right?
He made us this way, yeah. And so he expects it from us.
Beautiful.
But not like a parent who has high expectations for a kid who can't deliver, but like a God, a father who knows that the child is naturally, well, it's not naturally, has been created to be one with him.
Beautiful.
I'm not sure where you are. Where's your hole?
Right here.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with it. With the okay.
And when he ties himself, b'chozek, in a strong way, he will come to a feeling. This is a promise. God makes a promise to us. If you tie yourself to his mind, because that's what we're talking about, you utilize your havana, your chokhmah and bina, to unify with his chokhmah and bina. And this is back to your point about he could go to the dark side as well, right? Because if you tie your Hachman Bina to something which is not Emes, you could also bring that to heart. And I don't want to talk about that too much, but that's why that you have to be very careful with this. He has given us a set of, what should we call it? He's given us a way of thinking, and he's given us a view into the infinite through that way of thinking. And he's given us the ability to bring that to heart, to take that to heart. But that and nothing else is what we have to take to heart. The between is Hergish with Spilus and now. Ubavada, and certainly Srichim Lizeyegi Rabba. Of course it's going to take a lot of effort. There's no shortcuts to this. But there's no shortcuts, but it's not wondrously far away from you. At all. All right, so this is this avoid. Avoid the Sheba. This is the first word of tefillah. Avoid the Shebalev. Work with the heart. And I think we've established what the work is. The work is to bring ultimately Panimius Satoira into the heart, and in that way have a sense perception in your heart, a feel, a hergesh, because you've tied your Mekasher above and below, and you've seen it. It's as if you've seen it with your eyes, like seeing something in front of your face. I got it. That, if you can stand in that posture, you can pray.
It's another thing to hold on to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, and he doesn't talk too much about it, but he mentions that at all. Yes, it's hard. And it's natural that it flies away because we get distracted for a number of reasons.
We get this at a number of points.
And there are a few things.
Like holding on to this forever.
Not only are we distracted, but we don't learn enough.
Right.
Rabbi, when it says me yat levet, which is the heart, is that how we hold on to it, Esther? Is that what she's saying?
She's saying that even though it may penetrate the heart. And when that happens, you're there. You're in the groove, right? You're in the flow. But you can come out of the flow.
Mm.
And you got to work at getting back in.
Is it one of those things that can also be Isarasa de la Ela? Like, you'll get this inspiration and you'll feel so connected and you'll feel this and then it flies away. But even still, even if somebody does this Avaida from below and they do it out of their own volition, they do it because they want to do it, that's something that has to be constantly cultivated. It is.
What do you mean? That it's the non-selfishness?
No, just getting to this place of being really fully integrated and connected. You know, most of the time, even for a Beinoni, it's only during Kriya Shema that he feels this, no? Like, it's only like...
Look, just think about an athlete. An athlete who really takes oneself seriously as an athlete is always in training. So that's us.
We don't go up, we go down, is basically what you're saying.
That seems to be a fact also. If you don't work on it, you'll fall. But it's a constant, it's avoided. That's why it's called avoided Shebalev. It's work. It's not like there is an interesting thing in Tanya. He speaks about the difference between Oivet and Evet.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
There are folks who have arrived. Now, but I can't tell you about them.
You'd
have to ask the Rebbe, someone like that. Do you still have work to do? And I know I can tell you the answer is yes, but it's not the same work that we're talking about here. It's a different work. But we are, and every one of us who are getting up in the morning and saying Birkas HaShachar, it's incumbent upon us, number one, it's incumbent upon us, and number two, we've been given the ability, if we will just cultivate it.
But I just feel like the more das that a person really has, the more the conflict, the more the avaida, the more the harder it is.
Why? If it's a das is in kedusha. If the das is in kedusha, why is it more conflict?
That doesn't mean the das is in kedusha. A person who has das doesn't necessarily mean
no.
In kedusha.
Oh, if it's not in kedusha,
the avaida is to get into kedusha.
This avaida is not to be done on the other side, right?
No, what I'm saying is that you were differentiating between how some people are born with different levels of das. Everyone's born with different levels of das.
Right.
And you have some people who are born with a tremendous amount of das, and finding that path to get to that place of unifying your chachma, your bina, and your das together. together, and in the mayach and in the heart and in your actions and everything, the more das a person has, the harder the challenge.
I heard what you're saying. No, so that's an interesting point. We're going to flip now.
Das knowledge is contradistinction from Kiruva Hashem. Sometimes people from a secular, not your perspective, will say the greater knowledge you have, the more difficult it is to have a bogus Hashem. I think sometimes, as the rabbi said, it can also be the opposite. You know, the greater das you have, the greater your
understanding. So let's stick with it. He's now going to talk on page 23. What?
That's why people do drugs.
That's why people do drugs. Yeah, quick. Why do I need to do the avoider?
Addiction.
Absolutely. Look, because that's what we're talking about. The hergish in the heart of infinity, right?
Look to the Shemaim, like
Tehillim. So do you remember, I always quote this thing. I want to put it on the table again because it's relevant. William Blake, 17-something, says, if the doors of perception were open, every human being would experience what they really are, which is infinite. Now,
I want some
kitchen. Yeah, see? You go right to, that's a drug experience, right? Isn't
it's
no
medicine? I don't know.
This is the experience which is available in contemplation, meditation, and dasatara. That one lives in the finite with the reality of the infinite.
Ah, that's good.
Lives in the finite with the reality of the infinite.
The people that I speak to about,
I know you.
They literally say that when you have that experience, you realize you are God. I'm like, whoa.
I've heard that so many times.
Like a piece of God. They don't mean like you're God.
I've even heard teachers. Say that.
I've never tried it. I'm just like.
But it's a big mistake. It's like saying everything is holy. No, everything is
right. It's not.
It's not. Everything is.
When you have what experience, you realize you're God?
Just let me finish the thought before you. Everything is godly, meaning there's nothing that exists without the koyach of Elokus within it. But to translate that into everything is holy is a big mistake, because there's kaddish and
not in this world.
Kaddish and holy. Similarly, the ability that people have claimed, and I know people that it's true, that experience that you're talking about, drug-induced experience. If you read the Rebbe's letter on LSD, it says everything. Very interesting. And he has spoken about therapeutic use of these kinds of substances. But he says very clearly, you know, this is not the way. This is not the way. It produces a semblance of the way.
I would like to see those letters.
They're published. You just Google letter Lubavitch Rebbe on LSD.
I've never tried it. I'm sorry, I didn't use the language. Experience of it, and I've always wanted to know, like, if there's a way to get to that place, really.
This is the way. This is the only true way.
But yeah.
So let's talk about five ways to open up your heart.
Okay.
I'm Yud Aleph. Somebody was saying something. I cut somebody off.
I think Elisheva was.
Elisheva, you were saying something?
I think I gathered from the conversation what you were talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Anyone else want to say? Vihine, page 23.
Vihine bechtei leftayach maychay velibay sheyachal la'avayda Hashem b'tfila.
Okay. In order to open up one's heart, one's brain, and one's heart. I gotta have to that to be able to serve Hashem in tefillah. Remember, joining the two together, tefillah. Yeah.
Tzrichim laze hachana b'nafshay liyais keli ra'oy lekabel ar.
You have to become. There has to be a preparation in one's soul to make yourself a proper vessel to receive the light.
You have to empty yourself out.
That's who was it that said? What's the famous saying? That there's no greater keli for a broken than a broken vessel. You know, it's empty. You know, being broken is part of the process of making the right vessel.
That's why David HaMelech was able to do what he did.
So get on to the next bracket.
Now, Chanazu yesh ba kama pratim.
And this preparation has many details, and he's going to. I've short bracketed as much as I could, five ways that he puts on the table to open up your heart and draw into your heart the infinite from above.
Aleph, shetzarech lahasir midatai kol treda.
Tirda.
Ah, shela yitareid vibalbel.
First thing is clear your mind. Not that this is easy either. Clear your mind of any troublesome thoughts that are bothering you in tefillah. I told you a story about my friend who had a metaphor that worked for him for many years. He would imagine that there was a little man with a broom in his hand, and that little man would broom with the sweeping stuff away. All right. So this is the beginning of step number one.
Jezel Masha Amar Razala Aylam Yechanes Adam Sheya'or Shnei Psachim.
So a person should open up two doorways, and then pray.
Right.
So what it means is You shouldn't just walk in and pray. Think about that. You got to at least get through two doorways. Take some delay, right?
Oh, wow.
So don't be so quick to just open up the sitter and start praying when you come in from the outside.
Meaning
to take some time to do it slowly, so that you're slow enough so that you can get rid of as much of the distractive stuff that you brought in from the street, right?
Why do you use chumrim? The material.
Gashmi is physical, and chumrim is. Okay. Yeah. Ella.
Ella, she yeshha.
Yeshha. You should delay.
Yes. Wow. What does that word come from?
No, no.
Okay. Kishir she yisalek v'yasar me itay unyanav.
Enough time that you're able to get rid of those things which you came in with previously.
Yeah, that's the base over there.
Yep. So it shouldn't confuse you. Next bracket.
Okay.
Like sleep, like in physical things, like sleep.
What does hey hey mean?
Where? Hari haim.
Hari haim.
Hari haim. Yeah. So you wake up, you shake off the sleep, right?
Hari yesh v'chalasa lahasir tirdasav tirdasav daigasav daigasav b'shvil inyan gashmi hamuchrach l'gufay.
So just as you shake off the sleep, you should shake off the worries that you might have of physical things which you need to be concerned about. Them, business, whatever, project, but not now.
In Cain,
the culture came, how much more so?
Okay, so yes, be chalasa lepayel kizais or bezais.
Kizais, like this.
Kizais, bedavar hanega lenashe.
So if you can do, if you can shake sleep off of yourself in the morning, yeah, it's to do. But again, it takes a little time, right? Two doors, you say, right? And you can, in the middle of the day, you can transfer your thought from one thing to another, right? So how much more should you be able to think about you have that ability. Know you have that ability. So much more so should you learn to and concentrate on applying that to affairs of your soul. That's number one. That's step number one to open up your heart.
Beis.
Achar
shaloshim
Talis and tefillin. And talis and tefillin.
Talis and tefillin.
Before we go on, yeah. I have the letter up on my computer if you want me to quickly read it. It's very short.
Oh, okay, fine. I'm about LSD?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go for it.
So it says, greetings and blessings. And by the way, the date is 20th Mar Cheshvan, 5725, October 26th, 1964. Greetings and blessings. I am in receipt of your letter of October 18th, which you write in the name of your friends and in your own behalf and ask my opinion regarding the new drug called LSD, which is said to have the property of mental stimulation, etc. Biochemistry is not my field, and I cannot express an opinion on the drug you mentioned, especially as it is still new. However, what I can say is that the claim that the said drug can stimulate mystical insight, etc., is not the proper way to attain mystical inspiration.
Notice, he doesn't say that it can't stimulate something that appears to be mystical. He said it's not
appears.
The way.
He said appears.
Appears to be. Right.
And then he continues even with that to say, even if it had such a property. The Jewish way is to go from strength to strength, not by means of drugs and other artificial stimulants, which have a place only if they are necessary for the physical health in accordance with the mitzvah to take care of one's health. I hope that everyone will agree that before any drugs are taken, one should first utilize all one's natural capacities. And when this is done truly and fully, I do not think there will be a need to look for artificial stimulants. I trust that you and your group, in view of your yeshiva background, have regular appointed times for the study of Torah and the inner aspects of the Torah, namely the teachings of Chassidus. And that such study is in accordance with the principle of our sages, namely, the essential thing is the deed, the actual conduct of the daily life in accordance with the Torah and mitzvos, prayer, tefillin, kashrus, etc., etc. This is only a matter of will and determination, for nothing stands in the way of the will. I trust that you are also using your good influence throughout your environment. With blessing, and then it's signed by the Rebbe.
Beautiful. Okay.
But the Rebbe did say something along the lines of, if it's necessary for physical health, right. Which can also include mental.
Sure,
no.
You can. That's what's, you know, there's a lot of that going on today, utilization of these
microdosing.
And, you know, they're looking, the Rebbe acknowledges that when one understands how to use them to heal, either physical or psychological, that's That's something else. But that isn't what people were doing with LSD in 1965.
Right. So my question was not with regard to this back then. I'm saying with regard to using it in a way that's for healing and for human property.
Well, he acknowledged that.
Right.
But he's trying to say it's probably going to be pursuant to medical knowledge.
Well, it has to be, you know, what today, I mean, I know a little bit about it. There's only microdosing psilocybin is not yet approved. Psilocybin. Small dose.
Of what?
Psilocybin is made from plant, from a mushroom.
Okay.
The only one that's approved is called ketamine.
Ketamine, yeah.
And the only reason it's approved, it has nothing to do with this. It was approved by the by
pain.
For what?
For pain.
Well, I don't know what, but for some other use. For some other use.
I don't know about drugs. Years ago, when we were in high school, people used to take those magic, whatever they were, magic. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Magic one. Is that the opiates? Is that what you're talking
about? That's the same thing. Magic mushrooms.
Yeah, when we were in high school, remember?
Magic mushrooms, yes. But in any case, all I'm saying is what that little, that you brought out, that little snippet from the Rebbe, that there is a notion that that some of these substances could be useful, but he goes,
For recreational purposes.
Not for recreational purposes. And not for inducing mystical experience.
Right, that too. Right.
All right. Let me read number two.
Back to high school when a guy used to invite a girl over for a date.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Next.
After, you want to read it? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. After Shalashim Hatalashim.
Divrei Elokim. Okay, this is huge, right? First, you walked in and you cleared your mind, right? As best you can. And now, before you even open up the siddur, you learn Chassidus, because we want to get your bina in the right place, right? Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's very interesting to think about how Chassidus is always referred to this way in Chassidus. Divrei Elokim Chayim, the words of the living God. Where that's Chassidus. Yeah, half hour or more.
Dafka.
He had said earlier that one of the things that you should do is find a comfortable place for yourself, either standing or sitting, not walk around. I don't know. We'll have to go to it.
Yiftach.
And this will open, sitting or standing in a place that's comfortable for you, learning Chassidus for a half an hour or an hour. This will open up your brain and heart. That your brain and heart will become fit vessels for receiving. And sometimes it's good to do this before Birchas Yotzer. In other words, you could start down. Birchas Yotzer is later, near the time of Baruch, but you could stop there and also do it then. Before you get to Birchas Krishna,
before you get to
Shemon Esser, obviously.
Well, when you say which Baruchas do you say with an axe?
Birchas Yotzer.
Oh, but Yotzer Mashar. Okay, got it.
Yeah, it's in the short sub, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Gimel. Anyone else?
Usually that's after.
You want to continue? Continue.
Usually, Rabbi, that's after.
Let's go.
Maybe you
want to
read? Go for it.
Yeah. Right,
I'll go.
Josh? Yeah.
Od zos tzarich adam lepoel.
A shiftless biatzma. This is the third step. A person has to put oneself in a state of shiftless, lowness, humbleness, openness. Not the shiftless. We use that same word, by the way. Excuse me. Over here, we use that same word. A guy feels low because he's not going to be up to it. He's miserable. I'll never be able to reach this. This is shiftless, which means openness. B'kamay merazal.
En umdin lehispalel ela mitoch vod.
Right. When you're coming to stand to pray, you should come literally with a heavy heart. A heavy head, right? And what is this? He explains what it is. Not a headache.
Knos
for shiftless. This is humility, lowerness.
That abbreviation is Hutzruch Al.
Pardon me?
What's that abbreviation?
Al Yudei. Where are you?
At the beginning of the sentence.
The Maimer Rizal.
The Hey Bav Ayin is Hutzruch Al.
Where is this?
No, the bottom of the page. That.
Behu Inyan. Oh, I'm sorry.
Behu Inyan?
Yeah. Behu Inyan Hachna. This is, in other words, this is, the Pasuk said, the Maimer Chazal said, Koyved Rosh, heavy head. So Behu Inyan, what is the Inyan? What does it mean, heavy head? It's shiftless. Al Yidei,
Sheyeh Me Ma'ari De Hushvana.
Ma'ari De Hushvana, a master of accounting.
Mm. Le chashuv,
to consider. Hey, go ahead.
Hetiv call parate inyanov be.
Achshava divra ma'ase. To think about all the things that have occurred in your thought, speech, and deed.
Asher lo Le Hashem Hama,
which we're not in aligned with Hashem.
She'al yedezeh nisrachak me'elokus.
And through these things, you have distanced yourself from Elokus. Now, wait a minute, just make it so you can never distance yourself from Elokus, but you've distanced yourself from the awareness of Elokus and your heart.
From what Elokus? So you can never distance.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we understand
the second part. What did you say?
Because you can never distance yourself from Hashem, because Hashem is everything and everywhere. But you can distance your heart, your mind, your feelings, your attention,
and
your own awareness and reality. Right.
The taklis har rikuk,
utterly far away. The culture gain, how much more so?
She'eno kli leor Hashem ukdusha.
And you're not a vessel for kedusha. You're feeling far.
So one is physical proximity, which you can never make yourself distant from. And the other is the spiritual closeness to be a vessel.
But in this regard, where you're feeling the distance, the separation. Ukamai.
Ukamo diras hamelech, chitzaricha lios minuka, mikol mi.
Mius
ve.
Lichla. Like the house of a king. If you're going to invite the king to your house has to be clean from all kinds of garbage. Mashenke, on the other hand.
Im ena minuka, pare ena raidka.
Roy.
Lios diras hamelech.
So he's just using an example. If the house isn't clean, then the king's not going to want to come in, right? So you try to do some exercise of cleaning yourself out, being honest with yourself about where you're holding, right? And just concentrate on, those are the things that I know I need to deal with, and let's move on. But I know that, and I'm cleaning house, so to speak, in preparation for inviting you in. Similarly,
who the Adam she
kol echad
ve'echad tzarich
liyos.
Kli u mishkan leor.
So it's, even though all of us are, the mere fact that we're alive is an indication that our physicality is a vessel for Elokus. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about sensing the presence of God in our hearts. And to do that, we have to do an exercise in our brain, like my friend with a little guy in his head sweeping his stuff away. I have to be honest about where I'm holding, and I want to express that I know that I have the capability and the interest to clean house so that you can, and I can therefore have an experience of you, and you can have an experience of me.
Will Hashem help you? Say that, Hashem.
And Hashem will help you. Absolutely. We're going to go somewhere down the road. He talks about Hashem having mercy on you. It's an appropriate thing to represent yourself, not the way of getting depressed that we had before, but in a way of understanding that you are really not fit for this. And it's a brucha Hashem, and we said earlier, a kindness of Hashem that you're doing for me, even though I'm not fit, that you've said you will enter into me if I allow you to. And I want to allow you to. So I'm going to clean up my house as best I can to draw you in.
Asuli mekadesh
mikdash. Right, last week's parsha, or two parshas ago, last week's parsha. Asuli mikdash ushkanti b'seicha. God says to the Jewish people, it said to Moshe, make for me a holy temple, and I will dwell within you. So make for me a holy. What do you think they did when they made the holy temple? Do you think they made it nice and shiny? Of course they did. They made it as inviting a place as possible. So in your thoughts, make yourself as inviting as possible to the presence of Hashem.
Betocha lo nemar ella betocham.
Right. This is the famous midrash. It says, make for me a holy temple, and my Shekhinah will dwell amongst you, plural. So there's a base of mikdash in every person's heart, and a person has to be clean-hearted as well as clean-minded. It doesn't say that I will dwell within it, I will dwell within you. Between each and every one of us. Just for the sake of brevity, we're already over time. I was hoping we could finish. Well, why does it matter? We'll give it one more week. We'll do one more week.
I like that this is a continuation.
We'll do one more week.
I feel like we're finally really delving into a topic that's like so important and also like.
I know. And I'm skipping a lot because we could spend a month on this. Months of weeks on this.
Thinking at the main points, which is very important.
Yeah.
I want to learn about Mashiach and Geula.
Well, you didn't learn about it anything in this class tonight about Mashiach and Geula? That's hard to believe.
No, I did, but I want to learn about.
You want to learn in Yoni? No, I know that. We talked about that. We'll do that after. We're not going to learn in Yoni Mashiach and Geula. We're going to learn the Rebbe's Sichas on in Yoni Mashiach and Geula. And but we have one more week on this. We'll do. We've learned three approaches. We'll tarzah them come over next time to get oneself in the capability for being able to really daven the way davening is supposed to be. We'll do 4 and 5, and then we'll finish with his perek on what about people who don't have any Hasidus in their head, young people who are just learning, like Tziri Agudas Chabad, he was Yitzurim. I had a conversation with I have a son who is a mashpia in the yeshiva in Toronto. We were talking about this, and I asked him about himself and about the Bachrim and how much training they get in davening. And he says, I consider myself like the Tzirim. You'll see in the last parak, like somebody that doesn't really know much of anything. And you'll see, I can pray. So we'll do that the next time. Okay, Yeshikoya. Yeah, Yeshikoya. Till we meet again.